morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD 919. This show and every show on the Mary Griffith Show is powered by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. We're enjoying that this morning. And we're also going to enjoy talking to the new executive director of the United Way of Adams County. She's been on the job a couple of months now, but she's no stranger to Quincy. Nancy Bloom, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm really happy to be back.
Before we get into the United Way, let's just take a brief journey of your life, because for many years, you were a guest on the Mary Griffith Show and a spokesperson on the news for the Adams County Health Department.
That's correct. I worked at the Adams County Health Department for 26 years, and the last 17, I was the public health administrator. And we moved to the new building, the new location during my tenure. And but as I understand it today, it's growing almost out of that building too. So. I mean, these are good problems to have.
You're doing a lot of service there, so that's good. And then your husband took another job, and so you were leaving our community.
We left, unfortunately, and then it was only 3 years that we were gone, and we came back in 2015, and he came back to that company. So we're back, and he's still working there. So I wasn't living this full retired life, but I was on the board at the United Way for 6 years, and during that time there was some change in leadership, and a recent change in leadership last December, and my heart was pulled in that direction, having known, you know, the past and some of the history. So
you come out of a healthcare background.
Right.
And you go into United Way, which is a social service area, but of course, you will say this, the most important thing for happiness, I guess, is our health, mental health, our physical health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, financial health is important. You have all these pillars for the United Way, but this is a nice fit.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been a caring person about United Way, always supported
right.
the mission.
Right.
So this is just a way for you to serve as the top dog.
Well, I relate to the United Way through the community needs assessment. And that assessment in this area, in Adams County, has always been done for more than 20 years in a collaborative way between Adams County Health Department and Blessing Hospital. And so going to United Way was just like full circle for me because I knew of it. And I want to say that our community, again, is unique because I have never run into another community that does their community needs assessment collaboratively. It's so special. Why should Blessing Hospital or United Way or the health department do it in a vacuum? We're all within 8 blocks of each other. Why don't we get together and do it? You would use the same data sources. So the assessment is, you know, collecting research and data and then identifying locally what the needs are in this community. You know, a lot of health needs, but a lot of education needs, a lot of economic needs. So a lot of behavioral, and then we do that every 3 years, and then we try and work on solutions for those needs over the intervening time. It's getting time. 2024 will be the year that we collect data again. So
identifying problems is not easy, but that's, in a sense, the easy part, because identifying the problem is the easy part. Now, finding a solution.
Mm-hmm.
The United Way has changed over the decades the way it finds solutions to problems. You're much more evidence-based, much more result-driven.
Right.
You've always been great stewards of the companies, of the people's generosity and the donors' wealth and their generosity. But now you really have dialed it down. All of your partner agencies understand we have to verify, we have to be transparent, we have to show what benefit we're making. Now, this is difficult because as a former Girl Scout executive, for example, I would say, well, I can't show you that this little girl going to camp this summer made her a better human being 6 weeks later, you know, but I can tell you that most Girl Scouts, most don't end up in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
Most don't end up with unwanted pregnancies out of wedlock. You know, these results take time.
Right.
So some things are very obvious. You know, we talked about recently they had a diaper bank drive.
Right, right.
You know, if you don't have sanitary diapers for your children and you can't afford that, that's a health issue and it's immediate.
Yes.
And it's something that's happening right now and it needs to be solved right now, and the immediate effect of that will be seen right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not having diapers, the effects of that may be seen 3, 4, 5 years later when kids have these chronic diseases because they didn't have the good, you know, hygiene that they were supposed to have. So there's all different ways to measure.
Absolutely.
And the United Way does a really good job, first, of identifying what problems, where are we going to put our funds, where mm-hmm. are we going to tackle these problems.
What are we going to focus on?
Mm-hmm. And then what kinds of programs and agencies are we going to collaborate with to mm-hmm. solve these problems.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you're in the middle of the campaign.
We are knee deep in the campaign. October used to be, you know, the big United Way month, but we launched our campaign August 17th, and we had a fun time doing that. The goal this year is $1.1 million. And as of today, we are at about $131,000, and that's about 11-12% of our goal. So we are way ahead of last year, and I think that's mostly timing, but that's okay. It takes time to get to donors and to talk about it and to collect dollars and get them all put into our system, which is amazingly complicated, I'm learning. It's not like depositing a check. There's so much to do with it. But
you know, it's hard because what were you doing on this very date last year? You know, you might have just posted something, or it may be posted tomorrow, so it's mm-hmm. really not apples and apples, but
no.
You're definitely on your way, and you're not falling behind. You're, in fact, you think ahead of last year's mm-hmm. pace, and of course, making that goal is very important. You didn't raise the goal very much.
No.
You know, you're trying to maintain the $1.1 million that was raised and continue along those lines. Let's talk a little bit about that goal of $1.1 million. Past directors have come and sat in your chair and said, you know, if we had really kept pace with inflation,
oh, yeah.
we should be collecting $5 to $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, we know what an all-out effort it is just to collect $1.1 million.
Right.
So now you're the executive director of the United Way, and you're looking at forward thinking. You're kind of projecting where we'll be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Although I think, Nancy Bloom, you'll be retired.
I think
years.
I'll be retired by
yeah,
then. But
by
that's
then.
Okay.
Well, we don't want to predict too much, but we think mm-hmm. probably she'll be retired by the time the 20-year plan is put in place. But how do you continue to raise enough money to meet the needs and keep pace, which we have not done in the past?
No.
How can we catch up now, or should we even try? Should we just be happy kind of maintaining the status quo? That's a philosophical question the board has to answer.
It sure is philosophical. And one of the things is the makeup of the donors, and the employer campaigns are less of a percentage of the total dollars. So how do you make up for that? And we're doing things like fundraisers, like you were just talking about, United Way Wednesdays and the car drive-bys and the last 2 years we did a fall fundraiser. I don't think we're going to be able to do that this year. We might do something in January that's similar to that. But you have to start thinking about maybe these larger events where the proceeds go to United Way, or even smaller but multiple, like the city will be doing a Chilean hot dog luncheon for us. And it gathers money, and every dollar counts, every donation counts, and so, you know, we'll take it all in. As far as where do the dollars, you know, the dollars go to partner agencies, and so that is diminished. And it used to be, I mean, I'm talking 30 years ago, that partner agencies didn't do a lot of their own fundraising, but we have to allow them to do that themselves. So perhaps something like a combined fundraiser where we're all fundraising with a big event, something that we can all jump on, instead of just, you know, every weekend there's something to do,
right.
you know, with
well,
a fundraiser.
Well, you're always going to have Girl Scout cookies. You're always going to have Boy Scout popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Most places have developed, you know, Horizons mm-hmm. has, you know, everybody has something, but you're right. It is kind of, the whole idea was that we wouldn't have to do so much fundraising. The United Way would take care
right.
of everything.
That's the United part.
that didn't work out in reality.
No.
It's kind of like communism is the perfect system on paper, but we all know that in real life it falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess one of the philosophical questions I want to ask you is, and I had it in the top of my head, okay, you talk about more special eventing as maybe payroll deductions or the type of employers we have
mm-hmm.
Change. But the problem with special events is you have to keep repeating them to mm-hmm. get the results.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like me that makes a check every year to the United Way, not that mm-hmm. I'm so wonderful, but I'm going to make that check every year,
mm-hmm.
whether I go to a Chili's supper in addition,
right.
whether I go to United Way restaurant mm-hmm. day in addition, I'm going to write that check. It seems to me where the United Way has lost
mm-hmm.
and special events cannot make this up,
mm-hmm.
is that consistent, you know, I'm an old broad, and I remember my dad, it was just ingrained in me. You have to give the United Way. That's something that responsible people do. So it was kind of trained into me and taught into me.
Mm-hmm.
Who's training that into the 30 and 20-year-olds right now?
Right.
And I'm afraid we're losing a generation who would rather GoFundMe for some penguin that's trapped, you know, on an island somewhere, rather than the little kid that needs shoes to go to school right here in Quincy. And I worry about that. So how are you fighting that sustainability of people who could write a check every year with little prompting?
Yeah, with a little prompting. So creating a buzz is somewhat of a, you know, making sure that people know. My theme for my first year has been refreshing. And so part of that refreshing is reminding people what we do. Everybody knows the United Way name. United Way Worldwide, UWW. People know that. But when you ask them, what does United Way do? Usually they don't have a big answer.
They just say good things. And Brian Durante, one of your great volunteers, is on here all the time. And he talks about that, how, the United Way, one thing he talks about is it helps agencies, but more importantly, it can multiply and amplify money, because if you give money to XYZ charity, they get a dollar.
Right.
But if you give that same dollar to the United Way, it's $3 because XYZ uses that to then
match a grant, and that is the magic. And also employers who do employer campaign, we still have some great employers that run these massive campaigns, and many do an employer match. And so $1 from an employee becomes $2, maybe $3, and then that's magic there, and then there's magic when it goes to the partner agencies. So there's still beauty in collecting dollars together and rather than giving a straight donation. We're kind of the last grantor that allows our partner agencies to use money for operations. Many federal governments don't allow operations. The other day somebody told me that a lot of federal grants are not allowing food to be purchased with their dollars for a luncheon or something, or a gathering of a meeting, which has always been the, draw to a community meeting. So that's difficult. But we don't have those restrictions on the dollars that we give. And like I said, many do a match, and that helps them to keep pulling down dollars from other sources, usually state or federal government. So, but the other piece that I really like at United Way, and I always talk about this when I assure donors that we are good stewards of their money, and that's how we decide what partner agency gets what money. And one of the big things is that we want to make sure that even among our partner agencies, we're not duplicating a lot of services. For example, Cheerful Home is the only child care organization here who have a sliding scale fee. And so it helps them. So it helps that couple who are doing the right thing. They have children. They both need to work. But their child care is not so massive that they can't overcome that, because those are United Way dollars at work. We help out at Camp Point at the Community for Christ, and that's a food pantry and a thrift shop. And you can also apply for a gas card or for rental assistance. And so we're helping that part of the, because if you use that, you can't live in Quincy. So I think that's a nice distinction that they've created there. Mm-hmm. But also with United Way, because we exist, we too can pull down federal dollars. Emergency food and shelter dollars come to us from the federal government, and we just pass those on through to food and clothing shelters and places that help with housing. So that's really good. If we didn't exist, we wouldn't be able to pull that and distribute it in our area.
So the campaign is trying to raise $1.1 million. You're 10% away. Are you 10% already pledged?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that it was like October,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
it was
like, it started in October and ended in October. Mm-hmm. It was all over in October, and now it has stretched, and from August it'll be still going on in January probably. And sometimes we do worry a little bit about fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry about donor fatigue?
Yes, I worry about fatigue. I worry about novelty, and I worry about competing interests. And I know there's some folks that have, their definition of giving and what they want to accomplish and those kind of things. So I do worry about that. But I think exposure, buzz, getting out there. So we're all in the middle of doing campaign presentations. The more we can get out in front of people and tell our stories and pull on the heartstrings, I think the better off we'll be.
Well, I always like to share this story, and I've never shared it with you.
Oh, gosh,
it's been 5 years ago now. I mean, it's really been a long time ago now, but I ran into a friend of mine, younger than me, friend of mine, and he's. I said, what's going on? He goes, I got a job working at a major manufacturing company here in Quincy. I said, that is so great. Because, you know, these kids, when they're teenagers and young adults, they don't, you know, they are always doing something weirdo. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not thinking mm-hmm. about the future. But he said, yeah, he goes, I really like my job. I really feel like a grown-up. I can provide for my family. You know, I'm a grown-up.
Yeah.
And he said, and you know what? He said, we had a United Way guy come and talk to us about the United Way. And he said, I signed up for that. So that comes out of my paycheck. He said, you know, I'm really happy that I have a job now that I can support my family and I can give back to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense of pride
mm-hmm.
when he said, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm a United Way donor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my fair share pledge,
mm-hmm.
what I can give out of my paycheck to help others who are on the journey probably he was on 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, and so it's just a full circle moment.
It sure is.
You mm-hmm. never know. We just had a speaker at my church this week, and he was basically begging for Indian orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was an Indian orphan.
Yeah.
And so he says, I stand here before you today because somebody made that happen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody paid for me to go get off the streets, go to school, become a Catholic priest. Here I am now.
Oh.
You know, I'm ministering in America and in India where America needs priests now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, the money you give today will help a child who 30 years from now could be standing here as your parish priest. You just never know. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's one thing about the forward thinking of the United Way. It is today's problem, and you're trying to solve today's problems.
Mm-hmm.
But today's problems that are solved are also the children and young adults of our community 30 years from now.
Yeah.
So there's a longer range purpose to the United Way than just the immediate
right
needs.
And there's a tie into my background because you're describing public health as well. It was just more of a health focus, right? So it takes generations to make these changes, and we have to be patient, but we have to also be steadfast to keep the focus on it and keep the drive towards the good change. So that's my full circle moment.
Okay. Patience and steadfastness. Nancy mm-hmm. Bloom, before I let you go, some people will be approached in their workplace. Some people will have a chance to go to United Way to
mm-hmm.
eat at Primo's tomorrow in Canton
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
or eat at Cassano's tomorrow in Quincy. Some people will give to, you know, some little stand or somebody
mm-hmm.
that's having a group. They'll give that way to the United Way. But if somebody wants to write a check, if somebody's not contacted in any other way,
mm-hmm.
maybe they're a small business owner, maybe they're their own. They own their own business, and they're making some money, and
mm-hmm.
they want to be helpful in our community. The United Way is that wonderful entry level. One check fits all. One check helps the most.
Mm-hmm.
How can they give?
They can put it in an envelope, 936 Broadway, Suite F, Quincy, 62301. We are excited about the mail every day, and or they can even stop by and bring it in hand-delivered. So they can go to our website. There's a donate now button. We also have Venmo, and that comes through to us too. So, yeah, thank you.
So, quit clicking GoFundMe
mm-hmm.
and go to United Way and
mm-hmm.
click there and
yep.
know that your money's staying right here to
mm-hmm.
help those in our community. Nancy, so good to see you.
Thank you.
My gosh, I'm so mm-hmm. glad to have you back in an executive capacity
thank
serving
you
our
so
community.
Much. I appreciate that.
We're back. Talk radio. Move that microphone because Amy Graham is here, and she's going to talk right into her microphone big and clear because, wow, do we want everybody to know what's going on in Carthage, Illinois at the Legacy Theater starting September 30th, which is this Saturday night at 7, a great up-and-comer country music singer, Angie Kay. And a lot of people have heard of her already, but if you like country music, we've got two things to talk about today with country music, but if you like the kind of more modern country music, the new kind of stuff that's coming out. She's right in that genre, isn't she, Amy Graham? Good morning.
That is true, Mary, and good morning to you. Thank you for having us on this morning. It's always a pleasure to visit you here in the studio.
So tell us about Angie Kay and how we can get tickets for that Saturday show in Carthage.
Well, Angie Kay comes to us from Nashville. She's a recording artist. She was on Team Blake, if anyone is a fan of The Voice. They might remember her from that show. We describe her as an up-and-coming country music singer with Latin roots. So she does sing in English and in Spanish. Most of her songs are in English, but it's a lovely multicultural experience when you listen to her sing. So we're really looking forward to having her here this Saturday, September 30th. At 7 p.m., you can get tickets by going to the box office and visiting Bonnie. That's 1160 Buchanan. Or give her a call, 217-357-9479. You can also order tickets online at thelegacytheater.com.
What's the ticket price for Angie K?
$30.
$30. Very reasonable. Very reasonable. Then, really exciting, October 6th, I'm looking at this going, Twitty and Lynn. Oh, Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty kind of, impersonation group or whatever, you know. And then I'm reading it going, no. This is Conway Twitty's grandson, Trey, and Loretta Lynn's daughter, Taylor. And so it's Twitty and Lynn, and they really are Twitty and Lynn, and they do their own stuff. But of course, if your names are Twitty and Lynn, you've got to do Conway and Loretta.
We are thrilled. We added this show.
I was going to say, this was not on the original.
It was not on the original calendar. We added this show because we know that this particular duo has done great things, even in our area. And we thought if we could get them to fill in the fall of 2023, and it all turned out. So we are so thrilled that we have the Twitty and Lynn tribute to Conway and Loretta. And the beautiful part about this is their relationship to the original artists. And so you'll be hearing stories about them growing up within those two families and then how they all came together. Those two have known each other since childhood.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great way for us to really connect with the artists. And you know the music's going to be great. And they'll be up there on stage singing all the great hits from Twitty and Lynn, but we also want to hear some of their original work
sure.
as well. So
that's it. They're not really impersonating. I mean, they are interpreting.
They are
this
interpreting. That's a great way to put it.
And
yes.
They're doing it, you know, in tribute. So that if you love Loretta Lynn, if you love Conway Twitty, you're going to say, yeah, that's them. But also, if you like maybe a little bit more different style or more modern style of country music, they could say, yeah, we're always influenced by Grandpa and by Mom. But, you know, we have our own voices. We have our own talents. So they let themselves shine a little bit, too. That's
very
great.
True. It will be a wonderful experience. And that's Friday, October 6th.
And how much is a ticket for that?
Those are $45.
Okay. Well worth it. You know, this is it. The price point for these tickets, you'd have to travel forever. It was funny because the Civic Music Association is on my show quite a bit. And a lady said, my sister is coming from Minneapolis because this group that was playing in Quincy had played in Minneapolis. The ticket was $120 a piece. The tickets were $24 here in Quincy. You can't get it better than at the Legacy Theater, and the theater's fantastic. It's fully remodeled, fully restored, beautiful line of sight. There's not and all the modern day whistles and bells and lights and everything. Okay, so September 30th, Saturday night, Angie K, New Country. Trey Twitty and Taylor Lynn, Friday, October 6th at 7, $45, kind of a tribute to their ancestors. And then Michael Jackson fans, Moonwalker on October 21st. And this is a multi-presentation show. This has got a lot of people in the cast.
This is true. Michael is bringing with him three musicians and two dancers, and we're going to see... If you did not get the honor of seeing Michael Jackson in person, this will be as close as you can get. Michael Firestone presents Moonwalker, the MJ Legacy. And we are so looking forward to meeting Michael and hearing the great music of Michael Jackson. We know this show is going to be close to sell out.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I think if some people said, in little bitty rural Carthage, Illinois, can you have the king of pop? You know, is that a genre that, I mean, I can see why country music might go over there, but you know, Michael Jackson was the king of pop. He transcended every race, creed, color, age group. I mean, there are people, little kids loved Michael Jackson, you know, but he had older people that really admired his work too. So
a huge fan base.
His songs. We don't talk about him as a person. He was a little wacko, you know. We know Wacko Jacko a little bit, you know. But we're talking about his artistry and his songs. If you want to go enjoy a man who is extremely talented in his artistry and his songs, this will be great. October 21st. What day of the night is that?
That's a Saturday.
Oh, good. I love these Saturday events. 7 o'clock. What's the ticket price for that?
I believe those are $45 as
okay.
well.
That makes sense. He is unique. Moonwalker, the Michael Jackson Experience. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my conversation with Amy Graham continues. If you think the Legacy Theater in Carthage is some highfalutin for-profit thing that's run by this big bucks guy sitting there smoking his puffing his cigar and ordering his tens of thousands of employees around, you're very wrong. It's almost entirely volunteer run. You used to have one part-time employee, but now you've expanded and you have two part-time employees.
That's correct.
Wow, two part-time employees. When will it end, Amy Graham?
We hope it will never end.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Target.
Amy Graham is my guest today. She is a volunteer with the Legacy Theater in Carthage. And if you listen to the Mary Griffith Show, you know that I'm just gaga over this Carthage Legacy Theater. First of all, it is so physically beautiful. Second of all, they've renovated and restored it and taken something that could have been a dilapidated eyesore in that town and turned it into the showpiece of that town. The whole community gets involved. You can tell when there's a show at the Legacy Theater. The town square is hopping. The restaurants are full. You know, everything's happening in Carthage on nights when these big-name acts come from across the country to fill up the Legacy Theater. So definitely an economic boost to Carthage. And now you are actually, the city's not involved anymore. The city was kind of your little, well, we'll be your safety net. We'll kind of be the soft place in case things start to fall apart. But you guys are on your own now. Tell us how that's working.
We did purchase the theater from the City of Carthage. City of Carthage is still offering support over the next 3 years, financially and as far as lawn mowing and that kind of sidewalk clearance, that kind of care for us. But the building is now owned by the Legacy Theater Foundation. So that presents some challenges, but we feel very confident based on what we've been able to offer since 2016. Our reputation has grown, and we feel like we are in a good position to seek additional grants that can help support us financially. You mentioned we are a nonprofit organization, strictly run by volunteers. We've got our part-time box office manager and our part-time operations manager, but the rest of us are boots on the ground, roll up the sleeves, and
you
get it done.
And you did have that part-time operations manager till recently, because for a long time it was just the box office part-time. So it's just fantastic. You know, you're growing, you're thriving. And the thing that's so interesting about what you do is you can't really sell a season ticket, because the people that want to see Twitty and Lynn may not want to see Michael Jackson, may not want to see Garth Brooks, may not want to see the Church Basement Ladies. You've had so much creativity and so much offering. You've had pet dogs jumping through hoops. You've had magicians. You've had, I went to see that, I can't even name it, that Christmas show where it was like metal music, metal Christmas. It was great, but I mean, my ears didn't stop ringing for 2 days, you know. Forgot, what was that called? What was that?
Well, that was the tribute to the Trans-Siberian
Orchestra. That was so fantastic. But you've got all this eclectic mix. There is literally something for everybody. So you've got to keep selling tickets to every individual show, because the Selena group is not going to show up for something else. Although, if they like that theater enough and they see the quality, they will come back for things that maybe aren't their personal favorite genre, but something they know they'll always get a high quality show.
Well, that is the goal, and we always want to provide a high quality show. It may not be, as you said, Mary, your choice of genre, but you know, once you walk through those doors and sit down, you're going to see an amazing show on stage. And I appreciate you explaining the different genres that we have brought. It has been our goal to provide family-friendly entertainment, but a variety. And so some things have done really well, some things haven't done so well. And you learn that as you do in this business. But we feel like we have really set ourselves apart from some of the other local theaters. We want to work together with the other local theaters in our region so that we can draw in people to the tri-state area. So we feel we're contributing to that goal and that we can offer several different varieties of acts. Ticket prices, always, always our goal to be reasonable with that. And then hopefully people will join us and enjoy a great show.
So, folks, here's the message that, you know, she's politely saying Amy Graham is, but I'll be a little bit more direct. If you like country music, buy a ticket. If you like Michael Jackson, buy a ticket. First of all, in the Quincy area, which is your biggest metro area, you know, you've got Burlington, Keokuk, Quincy, Hannibal. You know, you've got some area to draw from. But, you know, if you are a Michael Jackson aficionado, you're not going to see this show for $45 in St. Louis. It's going to be $100 in St. Louis. You're not going to have the best seat in the house because it's a small theater. You're going to be in the front. There is no back. You know, if you go to the Fox Theater, you're going to be in the first row, you know, compared to, you know, whatever. So if you enjoy these genres, support these genres. When these shows come up, say, hey, I've really got to get my friends, and we've got to go see this Dogs Jumping Through Hoops, and we've got to see this musician. Or if you like plays, like comedic plays, like the Church Basement Ladies, they're coming up November 18th. Two shows at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and at 7, that's a guaranteed sellout.
Yes, we've done well with Church Basement Ladies. And this one is Away in the Basement, so it's a Christmas show.
Yes. And then you do have a Christmas show, December 16th, kind of a, would you say a crooner type of show? What would you call that?
I would call Sal Valentinetti a crooner. He has that era of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, that era. He has also been on television, America's Got Talent, as a finalist. And he's a amazing singer, great stage presence. And we're really looking forward to having him join us on December 16th. That's a 7 p.m. show that night. And we're just hoping that we will capture that audience that loves that genre of music, but also some younger audience that might like to experience a Christmas show that has a little bit of different flair to it than what they might be interested in. And again, we're always reaching for that goal to educate people on different types of genres.
Folks, it's the Legacy Theater in Carthage. Call today, 357-9479. You can buy tickets to any of these shows we talked about. They're all for sale right now. Angie Kay is this Saturday night at 7. Trey Twitty and Taylor Lynn are Friday, October 6th at 7. Moonwalker, the Michael Jackson Experience, Saturday, October 21st at 7. Get these tickets. Get them, get going and enjoy. Thank you so much, Amy Graham.
Thank you,
so
Mary.
Glad to have you.